The gospel lesson for this Good Shepherd Sunday comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. It is on page 1065 of the Pew Bible. In this gospel lesson, Jesus reveals himself to be the Good Shepherd. And in some ways, he compares himself to ordinary shepherds, but he also distinguishes himself from them. He is like earthly shepherds in some ways, but he is also much, much greater. Please stand as you're able for the gospel from John 10, beginning at verse 11, we read in Jesus' name. Jesus is speaking and he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. And Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen." You may be seated. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Dear sheep, you have a good shepherd, and you might like this a whole lot. I hope you do. After worrying about what you might eat, what you might wear, where you will live, it can be a great comfort to realize that you have a good shepherd who leads you. After falling into many sins and errors, it is a great comfort to realize that you have a good shepherd who pulls you out of error and forgives all your sins. When we realize that this world is a large and dangerous place, it is a great comfort to learn that we have a good shepherd who leads us and guides us through it. Everyone needs food, leadership, and protection, and it's much better to have a good shepherd than a bad shepherd. So you might like this, and I hope you do. And yet, like many things in Christianity, we might not like this, or we might sort of like it, but sort of not, because a shepherd might lead us somewhere other than where we want to go or where we think we need to go. And he might feed us with something different than what we think we need. Having a shepherd means that we are not the masters of our own lives, and we might not like this. Even if we recognize that we need some degree of leadership and protection, there will still be areas of our lives when we think that we know best, and we will not want to surrender control to our good shepherd. It's also kind of insulting, right? If we have a shepherd, that implies that we are sheep. To be compared to some kind of animal, it might be a compliment or an insult, depending on what the animal is. Some animals are used as compliments, like if someone says that you're a tiger or a fox or a horse, that's usually a compliment. Unless they're saying that you eat like a horse, then maybe not so much. But other animals are insults. And they mean specific things, like a pig. To call someone that means that they're filthy in some way. Or a rat is a snitch or someone with just poor character. Or a snake is sneaky and deceptive. They all mean something specific. And a sheep, that's a different kind of insult. A sheep is a vulnerable and dim-witted follower. To have a shepherd, well, that implies that we are sheep. And that means that we cannot protect ourselves, and we don't know where to go or how to get there. But that is what we are. The only thing worse than being a sheep is being a sheep who doesn't think they're a sheep. I mean, think about this. What if a sheep thinks it's a lion? What would become of that sheep? Well, it would soon become whatever is left of a sheep. So let's talk about shepherds. Today, I suppose most shepherds, they keep their sheep all in one place at one time, and they bring the food and the water to the sheep in their pen, or maybe they let them roam in a fenced-in pasture. But we want to think about ancient shepherds today. They were the free-range kind. In the first 10 verses of John chapter 10, Jesus talks about how a shepherd, he would go to the sheepfold in the morning to get his sheep. And at night, everyone, all the different shepherds with their different sheep, they would put all their sheep together in one big communal sheepfold with a fence and a gate around it. That way, they only needed one watchman to look after the sheep. So all the normal shepherds could go home and sleep. And the sheep, they would all sleep there. And then in the morning, all the different shepherds, they would go to the sheepfold to get their sheep. They didn't keep food and water there, so the shepherds would have to kind of check their sheep out in the morning and lead them to food and water. And so each shepherd, he would come in the morning and call for his sheep. And the sheep, they recognized and they knew the voice of their shepherd. And so when they heard the shepherd in the morning, they knew, oh, I'm getting breakfast and water now. And so they would joyfully go and follow their shepherd. They knew his voice. This is what Jesus refers to when he says in John 10:4, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then throughout the day, he would shepherd them. That means that he would lead them around the countryside to food and water. In Psalm 23, King David reflected on this when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." To have a good shepherd means that he leads us and he feeds us. Now, this includes our daily bread, and by that I mean the physical food that we eat and all the physical needs of our lives. Jesus provides all of those things for us. But even more so, it's talking about our spiritual nourishment. Our good shepherd feeds our souls, and he feeds our souls through the Word of God. Because man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so our good shepherd Jesus, he leads us together here, where we receive nourishment from his word. And he leads us to the word of God in our homes as well, including our family devotions and our personal private devotions. We should all, as Jesus' sheep, be reading the scriptures on our own. And so if you live with your spouse or your children, you should be reading and discussing the scriptures together. And in your personal life as well, alone, reading the scriptures and meditating on them. And I don't know how your personal or your family devotions are. The common answer whenever you ask someone about this is usually, well, not quite as good as it should be. And that's my answer too. And so I suppose that means that if you're not very diligent in reading the Word of God on your own time, well, you're not alone. But like many things that are common to us, that doesn't mean that that's good or even okay. We should follow our good shepherd's leadership in our homes so that we would feed on his word and continue to be nourished. And this is like the way that a shepherd leads his sheep to food and water. A shepherd also protects his sheep. Ordinary shepherds, I mean, within reason, of course. And so if a shepherd heard the howling of wolves in the distance, he might calmly but efficiently move his sheep in the other direction. Or if it's early morning and the grass is wet with dew, the shepherd might lead them away from the steep and slippery slopes. A shepherd leads his sheep away from danger. And this is what it means when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." We pray that our good shepherd, Jesus, would lead us away from those things that might harm our souls. And a shepherd might defend his sheep from imminent danger. If a wolf approaches and the shepherd has adequate means of maybe killing or repelling the wolf, he might be brave and do so. Or if the shepherd's really just a hired worker, and Jesus talks about this, he might just run away and sacrifice the sheep to the wolf. They're not his sheep, so he doesn't lose anything personally if he runs away and just lets the wolf have his way. But a shepherd who actually owns the sheep will be more inclined, at least, to fight the wolf off. And this is what we ask for when we pray, "But deliver us from evil." Temptations will still come. The devil will still make attacks on your soul. But we pray that our good shepherd would defend us from the attacks and fight off our attacker. And so to have a shepherd means that we have true leadership. I mean, true leadership. True leadership in this world is very rare. And that's because it's extremely difficult. The higher you rise, like in government, for example, leadership becomes more and more difficult because you have to keep all the people happy. I suppose, then, the trick for many politicians is to project the illusion of leadership while really just pandering to the whims of the people. One politician put it this way, and I'm pretty sure he was saying this rather tongue-in-cheek. He said, "There go the people. I must follow them, for I am their leader." Or I think of Moses and the difficulty that he had leading the people of Israel. Moses, before he was even called to lead the people, you remember what he was doing? He was shepherding the flock of his father Jethro. And the Lord appeared to him and called him to shepherd and lead his people Israel out of Egypt. But whenever things got bad or difficult when they were doing this, Moses, he nearly lost control of the people. And he needed a miracle such as bread from heaven, or thousands and thousands of quail, or water to miraculously spring from a rock in order to satisfy the people. Otherwise, you'd lose control of them. Or we think of King David, the author of Psalm 23, and who was also, remember, a shepherd until God anointed him as king over Israel. And the Lord talks about this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I don't know how many times I read this without noticing this, but then I noticed it, and I thought it was kind of funny. The Lord, when he's speaking to David, he reflects how he called him from being a shepherd. And the Lord, he said to David then, "I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel." You notice that? David was following the sheep. They were not following him, but he was following them. And maybe that's just the way that earthly leadership usually goes. The leaders follow the people because we don't really have that strong ability to be a shepherd like our God is. We're not him. But then when David wrote about his good shepherd, he said, "He leads me beside still waters, and he leads me in paths of righteousness." We have a true leader in our good shepherd. He does not follow our whims. He does not let us have candy for breakfast or whatever the spiritual equivalent of that would be. But he's the kind of leader who actually insists upon his own ways because he knows that his ways are truly best for us. And he does not lose control. Now, so then to some degree, Jesus, he uses the metaphor of shepherd to reveal who he is and how he feeds us. But then he also separates himself from all the other shepherds of the world. And so he says, "I am the good shepherd." He doesn't even say, "I am a good shepherd," but "the good shepherd." There is no other shepherd like him. Even shepherds or leaders that might be pretty good by our standards are not in the same category as our good shepherd. He is in a class by himself. He is the good shepherd. So what separates Jesus from every other kind of shepherd or leader? We talked about how he's really a true leader and not a follower of the sheep. But the really substantial thing is the way that he lays down his life and takes it up again. I mean, think about this. Shepherds do not die for their sheep. That's the opposite of how it's supposed to go. A normal shepherd lays down the life of his sheep for him. He might lead them and protect them for a while, but that's only because he intends to make a profit off of their flesh. And we could probably figure that this metaphor of shepherd and sheep is going to break down at some point before it gets to the slaughtering of the sheep, right? But even without slaughtering their subjects, other leaders often use those under their authority for their own benefit. And this is pretty common to see in government or in business, that earthly leaders are selfish. They're smart enough most of the time not to say it, but we all know that the people at the top, they use those under them for their own benefit. And these are places in business and government where you have humans over other humans, not animals. But so it seems really backward that Jesus talks about a shepherd, that is a person, laying down his life for the sheep. Or Jesus talks about himself, God laying down his life for humans. It also seems rather futile, right? I mean, think about this. What happens as soon as a shepherd lays down his life for the sheep? All of a sudden, there's nothing left between the wolf and the sheep. And so the wolf can have his way with the sheep. A dead shepherd is of no benefit to the sheep. And I suppose this is why, or part of why Jesus' disciples, they couldn't really understand before Jesus' crucifixion when he kept talking to them about how he must be crucified. What good would the Messiah be to them if he's dead? But Jesus does not speak of merely laying down his life for the sheep, but laying it down and taking it up again. And this is different than simply not dying. If he doesn't die, that doesn't do us any good either. To die and rise again is totally different because laying down his life is how he defeats the enemy. Satan, whom we can think of in this illustration as the big bad wolf, he accuses us of sin. That's his special power, I guess. And Satan, he had the law on his side. According to the law, we were guilty of sin and deserving of death. Satan was right about this. But Jesus, our good shepherd, took our sins into himself and died with them. And so Satan's power to accuse, it was taken away. And death, which was the consequence of sin, cannot hold us anymore. Removing Satan's power to accuse is like ripping the teeth and the claws out of the big bad wolf. And so Jesus lays down his life and he takes it up again. And so we now have a good shepherd who is both the crucified one, but also the one who lives. He was crucified as an atonement for sin, but also lives and continues to lead, guide, and protect us. He even leads us through death. We still die because we still live in this broken world with sinful and corrupt hearts. But we do not go into death alone. We follow our good shepherd into death because he has been there and he has come through it alive, transformed, and glorified. And so David, he even wrote about this in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We don't go into death, but we go through it because our good shepherd has gone through it. He cut a trail through it. The bars that would hold us there in death have been broken. And so we still pass into it, but we will not stay there because our Jesus passed through it and he will lead us through it as well. And so, dear sheep, Jesus is your good shepherd. He is always near to guide and protect you, and he may guide and protect you in ways that you do not like, but always in the way that is best for you. So listen to his voice. That is, listen to the scriptures. He feeds you with this very word of God. It is our spiritual food. Our good shepherd has given us the scriptures to nourish our spirits, to guide us in what is right, and to protect us from error. He doesn't give them to us as if he's going to go away somewhere else, but he also remains with us. He is ever present with us. He is with us now. And when we leave this place and go to our homes or to wherever we might go next, he goes there with us as well. We often wander from his loving protection, but he does not forsake you. He laid down his life as an atonement for your sin, and he took it up again to guide you as your living shepherd. And he will guide you through this life. And as he has already passed through death, he will also lead you through the valley of the shadow of death and into the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.